Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Fairport Baptist Church on this beautiful Lord's Day. And I know some of you, like me, you're full of oysters and shrimp from last night. I seen some. In fact, Billy had said, told me that I could sit down and preach today, and he would say amen to that. So. Anyway, welcome this morning. And for some announcements, let's look and see what we got here. Deacons and WMA meetings Tuesday night, the 4th here at 7 p.m. Ladies Sunday School class on Sunday the 9th. They will begin a new study titled Now That Faith Has Come, a study of Galatians. All ladies are invited to join. Please see Debbie Delosier with any questions. Valentine's dinner. We'll get ready to eat again. Friday, the 14th, Valentine's Day at 6 o'clock. Dinner will include shrimp, baked potato, salad, and dessert. Senior citizens will provide entertainment. A sign-up sheet will be in the fellowship hall and sign up by February the 9th. And then men's fellowship breakfast, another eating, Saturday, the 15th at 8 a.m. in the fellowship hall. All church men are encouraged to attend. Sign-up sheet in the fellowship hall. And children's and Youth Winterfest, Saturday, February 15th, 5 to 7 p.m. Dinner will be provided. All ages are welcome. Parents are welcome to stay or drop off the children. There will be crafts, games, devotion, sign-up sheet in the fellowship hall. See Michelle Jenkins with any questions. And then another, ladies' luncheon. Thursday, February the 20th at Leadbelly's Restaurant. Please arrive at 11:30 a.m. Sign-up sheet in the fellowship hall. See Bootsy Burgess with any questions. And just a note, I've got another dinner to go to tomorrow night. My gun club, our monthly meeting. We have a dinner meeting. And then, of course, I'm going to be installed as the first vice president this year. So anyway, so plenty of eating going on. All right, any other announcements? Anything?
Yeah.
hymn this morning is 542. My love is in, my life is in you, Lord.
Children. Todd is not feeling well this morning. So we're going to not have a children's message today. So Michelle, you're going to take them to the... You got a couple. Three of them. Huh? He had shrimp last night. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here, this hour of worship. We thank you for who you are, for the one that has created this wonderful, great world for us to live in. You've created us. You've given us so much to live on. You've given us a roof over our heads. You've given us food on the table. And you've provided the means that we sustain our lives comfortably here in this world. And we thank you especially all for the great gift of salvation, the giving of your Son, that we might be forgiven of our sins, that we might have eternal life. And we know of no greater example of love that you've shown to us. And Father, forgive us for the times that we don't show love back, but sometimes we forget. Sometimes we're ungrateful. Forgive us of that and help us to be always mindful of you, and that we would say that we love you back, and that we would do things to prove that love to you, and the way that we live, the way that we witness, and the things that we do for others. And we pray for this lost and dying world. We pray for those out there that do not know the Lord as their Savior. And we know that they need someone to tell them. And if we don't, nobody's going to. And we pray that we would be sensitive to those that we come in contact with each day, and to feel your Spirit guiding us to be a witness and to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that as we go through this service now, we're listening to you, and we thank you for the opportunity that we will have at the end of this service to come to your table, the table that was provided by your Son for us. And now, as we go with everything we do and say, we do it to your glory and honor as we come in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Amen.
Offertory hymn this morning is 503, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. Stand as we sing.
Amen. Amen.
An overweight man always stopped by the bakery on his way to work to pick up goodies for the staff coffee break. The practice was scrapped when the man went on a diet. The staff understood. One day he was driving by the bakery on a work-related errand. As he approached the bakery, he said to himself, "Maybe God wants me to stop by the bakery this morning and pick up some goodies for the office." So he told the Lord he would only stop only if God made a parking spot available right in front of the bakery. And sure enough, there it was, a parking spot right in front of the bakery on his eighth trip around the block. Cancer is a malignant growth. Caught in time, it can't be cured. Left alone, it will spread and cause death. It has to be treated or removed in order for one to regain health. And the best news is when the doctor says, "We got it all." Sin is like a cancer. Left alone, it will spread and cause death. It needs to be cut out or it will destroy the body and the soul. Like cancer, it requires radical surgery. So we're going to look at what Jesus has to say about adultery this morning. Todd said he couldn't talk to the little children about that today, so I guess it's just, I told him, well, he could just talk about faithfulness, you know. So look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 30 this morning. We're going to look at what Jesus says about it. "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, 'Thou shalt not commit adultery.' But I say unto you that whosoever looketh a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right hand offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of my members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell." First, let's look at the law on adultery. It's the seventh commandment. It says in Exodus 20:14, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." What is it? Well, it's sex with someone who is not your marriage partner. This commandment is meant for you to respect and protect your families and your neighbors, to protect one from the judgment and the perishing in hell. It's to protect one from sinning against their own body. Not only you with somebody else, you're also sinning with your own body. Sex is a gift from God. It's given for at least three reasons. One, for attraction. Causes one to be attracted to another. This is a tool that brings a couple together. They love one another and they get married. I was attracted to my wife. I first met her. I met her on a double date. She was dating my best friend. I was attracted to her. And I had some double dates with my best friend with her, and then I had some different girls' friends along the way. And then I graduated from high school. I was in college. My best friend called me. It was something he wanted me to go to, and he, you know, bring a date. And he had not dating Nancy anymore. So I asked him, I said, "Do you mind if I call Nancy?" He says, "No, go right ahead." I called her, and that was it. But that's given to attract, that we, you know, couples can come together and get married. And then the third reason is for the creation of life. It is procreation. It's a privilege for us to procreate under God. So those are the reasons. Adultery is immoral. God will take revenge against those who destroy families through adultery. What does it say? Let no man put asunder. When a couple are joined together, it is for life. It said, until death are you part. You're married till death. Jesus gives real meaning on adultery. It's committed by one of four acts. One, it can be by a deliberate look. It's a passion within the heart, desiring or lusting after. You remember he just passed away just long ago, Jimmy Carter, who was one of our presidents. I don't know if you remember, some of you old enough to remember when he was running for president and he said that he had committed adultery, he had lusted in his heart. That's the danger of looking on and desiring, you know, someone. Then there's the actual act of sex with someone other than your own spouse. And then there's spiritual unfaithfulness to God. That's considered adultery. When you put something else before God, that becomes your God, you're committing adultery. Oops, let me get this. There is the eye, the heart, and body adultery. The eye leads to lust by looking. Where did the original sin start? Garden of Eden. Eve was tempted by Satan, the old serpent, whatever how you want to call him. He's got many names. He enticed her, and what does it say? As she looked at the forbidden fruit on the tree, it was good to look at. It started with the eye. The eye is the window into the heart. And the eye can be used sinfully in several ways. To look for another in order to lust after. To let another know you're available. You know, there are those who give those looks. It's to attract, suggest, and to entice. It's to be thought about. Suggestive communication, unclean talk, jokes, foul words, and suggestive statements. Luring talk that arises with the opposite sex. Then there's dress, exposing parts of the body. I had this occasion some years ago when we were down in Florida. I was in Florida for 4 years and pastored a couple of churches down there. And one evening, my wife and I had been out somewhere. Coming home, we needed to stop by the grocery store. And, of course, most of the grocery stores down there in Florida, you know, and near our house, was a Publix. And we went into Publix late one evening to get some stuff. And as we approached the cash register, there was this lady in front of us. I don't know if it was a bathing suit. It looked like, you know, that leopard skin, you know, the spots all on it. And it had some openings cut in the side, you know, down here. And she was a little on the plump side. Stuff was sticking out. But what really got me, standing there between her and us waiting in line, it was the cash register boy. It was a young teenage boy at the cash register. And when she got up there checking out, he was about 16 or 17 years old, and he was embarrassed. He got red in the face. And he was trying not to look. And as she checked out, me and my wife, we're looking at you, we're laughing, you know, and I got up and I looked at that young boy in the face, and I said, "What can I say?" But that's sometimes exposed. It's following the latest fads in dress might be designed to display or attract. You see somebody, I don't watch it anymore. I haven't years, but I see flashes on the news sometimes. They have his Hollywood extravaganzas, and these ladies, they got, you know, you got half of nothing on. You can see through the rest of it, you know. And it's just exposing the body. Adultery is a work of the flesh that will not inherit the kingdom of God. We are to keep from committing adultery. In relationships to others, stay away from places that lend themselves to suggestive lust. Don't think you're strong enough to resist. I read this story one time. There was a coal mine, and they were having tours. People would come and go tour the coal mine. And this young lady showed up in all things a white dress. And the coal miner says, "Ma'am, you can't go in there with that white dress on." She says, "Oh, I won't get anything on it. I won't touch anything." He said, "No, you don't understand." He says, "It's impossible for you to go in that coal mine and not get coal dust on you." And that's the same way. We're careful where we go. You might get it on you. Stay away from persons who might be suggestive and enticing. Refuse invitations to socials that might lead to suggestive conversations and enticements. In relation to self, dress decently. We dress to please the Lord. I ask you this question, and when you think about when you dress, how would you dress if you were Jesus was your date? If you were going out with Jesus to dinner or somewhere, how would you dress? Behave at all times as a genuine Christian. Build testimony by conversation and behavior as a Christian believer. In relation to the eyes and mind, make a covenant not to look at or think about immoral persons, places, or things, and don't. Keep the eyes and the mind upon things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. Learn to captivate every thought. Resist that first thought that comes to you. Turn your body and mind immediately to other matters. I learned this years ago, and I always do it now. When I'm tempted, but whatever it may be, I say, "I am washed in the blood of the Lamb." Amen. Let me tell you something. Satan and temptation will flee from you. You can't stand that statement. And then I will say, "Lord, help me to just have pure thoughts, a clean mind, a clean tongue." Resist it. In the presence of others, guard yourself at all times. Billy Graham, you remember Billy Graham, the evangelist? And he used to go and do these crusades and go traveling, doing different places. He would never, if he, like at a hotel, an office building, wherever he might be, he would never get in an elevator alone with another woman in there. He didn't want to even have the appearance of it. He got it kept away from it. Flee when suggestive statements and advances are made. Follow the example of Joseph. Remember Joseph? Potiphar's wife. You know, Joseph was a good, nice-looking young man, and Potiphar's wife had her desires for him. She grabbed him by the coat. But you know what he told her? He said, "I cannot sin against my God. I can't sin against my God." And when she grabbed him by the coat, he left the coat in her hands. He fled. He ran from that place as fast as he could go. That's what we need to do. Follow Joseph's example. Flee from those temptations. Now, there are two culprits of adultery. One, and Jesus says here, the eyes. It moves one by the thoughts that arise from sight. The eye is the window to the mind and to the heart. And men are mostly motivated by the eye. David's example of Bathsheba. Remember David one night, he was restless, went out on from his palace, and he could look out all over Jerusalem. And in those days, you know, they had the thing that collected the water on the roof. And that's where they went to take their baths. And he's looking out across there, and there's this beautiful Bathsheba taking a bath. And that is his downfall. Instead of resisting, he got caught in adultery. The hands. This is when moved by the touch. It's excited by sensation. And of course, the women are mostly motivated by touch. The answer is threefold. Radical surgery. Cut off the offending member. Now, let me explain something here. Now, some people have taken this very literally. They've poked their eyes out, cut their hand off. Jesus is using this as a symbolism. He's talking about self-discipline, radical self-discipline when necessary. The lustful look or touch should be cut out of one's life completely. It should be resisted, gotten rid of. Don't anything that would cause temptation to you, get away from it. Don't do it. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then there's death. Let the offending member perish, Jesus said. What feels good and pleases the flesh is not always good. You know, we used to have that saying, I don't have ever heard it late, but it used to be, what feels good, do it. Self-denial is called for. The members of the body are not to be yielded to sin. They are to be counted dead with Christ. Remember, the believer's body is a temple. What happened when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Something died. Self. Self died when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Repent. Turn from being cast into hell. Christ warns of the consequences of adultery. One must turn from adultery to God. Amen. And I have seen, I've known in my own family, I have seen what adultery can do. My grandfather had two problems: women and booze. Him and my grandmother separated and divorced with four small children. My mother was the second oldest. A broken family and a hard relationship that I witnessed as I grew up all of my life and all as that went on. And in fact, you talk about skeletons in the closet. I learned one time that one of my grandfather's affairs was with his sister-in-law. that just disturbed another family. So it breaks things up. But Jesus saw lust as a serious and damaging problem that he felt radical discipline was necessary to free oneself from it. The answer to lust, adultery, and all other sins is Jesus Christ. One must let him take control of their life. Remember I said when you die, when you accept Jesus Christ on the cross through your sin, self dies, he, through the Holy Spirit, comes into your life, and he's in control, and he will help you to avoid those things. Years ago, before I went into the ministry, I smoked. I got on my knees one night, side of the bed before I crawled into it, and asked him if he would remove that desire from me and I would never touch another one. I got up the next morning and never touched another cigarette. And I, for the life of me after that, I can't figure out why in the world I did it. got my taste buds back. And I go somewhere where people smoke. I can't stand it. I got to get away from it. But he removed it. He can remove those temptations from you. He can remove those bad desires from you if you put it in his hands, if you make him, let him take control. He is the only way to avoid eternal damnation in hell. He is eternal life. He is the Savior. And I pray that today that each and every one of you know him as your Lord and Savior. And no one leave here without that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your teachings. And we pray that we realize that adultery and all the other sins bring harm to our own lives and to our families and friends. It involves all those around us we hurt. And above all, it hurts you. We pray today that each and every one of us know that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, that he is in control, and he's keeping us in his safe hands and away from the dangerous things that can happen to us in life, especially the temptations of sin. And we pray now, as we come to your table, we do all this to your glory and honor as we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. 305, Jesus paid it all.